Honestly, this is not to be cocky or anything, but
I want to create solutions which help people.
Be this person I want to be in the future. I have to follow this path.
Seeing their lifestyle, you know, the type of lifestyle that I want.
Africa's blank canvas. Paint your dreams.
Welcome to Africa's Blank Canvas podcast. I'm your host, Obit Sora, and today I'm joined by Nyasha Zimunu. How are you, Nyasha?
Hi, thank you for having me on this podcast. I am doing okay, but you know, this is not rest at all. And I had an interesting day yesterday. So this is as real as it gets because I'm getting the questions for the first time. And yeah, let's excited to see what's in store.
If only the people knew how long it took for this podcast to happen. But anyway, we are here now.
Yeah, it's never too late.
So can you just give us a brief introduction to who you are? What are you currently doing?
Yeah, my name is Nyasha. I am a software engineer. I will be 2 years into the job since I graduated from university in September. I was at the University of Pennsylvania from 2017 to 2021. I studied electrical engineering. Kind of knew I was going to get into software engineering, but studied electrical engineering anyways. And Zimbabwe, I was at Regina Mundi for O-level, then Gramozi for A-level. Yeah, that's about it.
So how was it moving to the States, you know, like settling down from Zimbabwe and into the States? Where actually in the States are you based in?
I am based in New York, but I started off in Philadelphia, which is where my university was. And in terms of how it was settling from Zim to the US, well, because I've been here for, it's going to be what, 7, 6 years? Yeah, it's almost hard to think of a life without being here. At first, it was hard. I think I have an article online. If anyone looks me up, it's probably what pops up. And I was talking about the culture shock of just how America is, how people interact, how they engage. And it was rough for the first few years, but then I found myself and I realized, oh, we are all kind of human beings. And yeah, now I'm kind of, there's ups and downs, but it's a good place to be. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to go a bit deeper on the situation of finding yourself. I feel like a lot of people are always saying, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to find myself. How was that experience for you? Like when you finally said, okay, this is my purpose and I'm going to dive into this.
Oh my God. That's a great question. I mean, trust me. I feel like right now I'm in the process of being like, what am I doing? I think it's something you have to check in with yourself all the time. What's helped me is looking back where I've come from and where, what my pain points were and what I was trying to achieve. So I think especially for us Zimbabweans, well, it depends what you grew up as. Like I didn't come from a lot of money. I also had like maybe people who didn't believe in me. And I always felt like, okay, I need to prove that I am worth it and I'm smart and I am strong and I can do A, B, C. And so even when you can get kind of lost in a new culture where you're like, oh man, I haven't been around this many white people, Asian people. Am I smart enough? Am I good enough? What am I doing? I would still remember that, no, where I came from, these were my pain points. And I'm trying to achieve this amount of freedom, this amount of knowledge, this amount of understanding. And yeah, so I think that's who I am, basically. I am a curious person. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to better myself. No matter what the situation is, I always go back to, that's what I want. It's not a solution to all my problems, but, you know, it's what I live for. And so, yeah, I keep going back to that.
That's a very interesting take. And I feel like a lot of people need to understand that it's not a rush process. It's something that develops over time. You know, you start off doing things, then you finally say, no, this is not me. I like more of these things. And you stick around. Maybe things might change and stuff like that. On the same topic about changing, You said you went to the States doing electrical engineering. How did you then pivot into this software engineering world?
So I was already taking a couple of computer science classes. Yeah, also, if you know computer science, it's kind of a higher level of abstraction from the basic sciences or whatever, right? So you start with physics, and then there's electrical engineering, and then there's computer engineering, and then there's computer science. So it's like a pyramid, and you're going up in the levels of abstraction. So it's not like the disciplines are not too far away from each other. It's just that electrical engineering is more like the electric signals, the circuitry. I did electrical engineering because I wanted to understand the basic fundamentals before going to the highest level of abstraction. But yeah, I was already taking some computer science classes, and I was lucky. My company gave us even more training for, you know, Java, other frameworks like Spring Framework, just a general understanding of the architectures I would be using in my software development. So that made the transition easier. But oof, I remember my first internship, I knew I didn't have as much experience because I was an electrical engineering student. And I definitely had many doubts, some challenges, but I think I had to keep being like, telling myself I could do it, and if I couldn't, fake it till you make it. And eventually it worked out, but it had its own challenges.
Oh, that's a very interesting move, though. Like you said, you're moving from the electrical components and then eventually to the software. Then another thing you mentioned was the went and not believing in yourself and doubting. I think most people in the tech world call it imposter syndrome. And you said something about fake it till you make it. I want to take those two things and relate them to women in tech, especially in the times we live into, as more women are getting into tech. I feel like they're also faced with those things like imposter syndrome, or they're doubting themselves. What did you do that made you say, it doesn't matter that I'm a woman, we're all human beings, I can do what the next person can do? And you began to do, how did you overcome those small hurdles which usually hold a lot of people back?
Honestly, this is not to be cocky or anything, but I think when you listen to people and when you see what they bring to the table, you realize, what? We have the same brain capacity, not same brain capacity, but we have the same capabilities. And I think just working more in group projects and seeing what other people were bringing to the table, their ideas and whatnot, I would realize, oh, I'm actually smart and I'm actually creative. And sometimes I bring way more to the table. Sometimes people are better than me, but as long as I'm willing to learn and I adapt and I'm consistent and disciplined with my skills, I have this figured out. And so, yeah, I think it was more experience and just realizing I'm actually very smart. Like, we are at the same level. There is nothing about being a woman or a man that makes you more adapted to like software engineering. Like, it's a lie. And once you realize it's a lie and that we're all capable, you're kind of like, okay, give me other problems to work with, not like my identity. But another thing that helps is having examples of women or people like you who are making it in that industry. So for example, if I was stuck in a company where I'm the only one and it's a bunch of dudes and whatnot, and they also make me feel like in a meeting they're not listening to my points or whatever, that would make me doubt myself more. So I think it's definitely helped that I have stuck in environments where I'm listened to, my opinion is valued. And sometimes when I feel like people are making me feel some type of way, I confront them. And I think it's also the confidence of being like, I also know these things. So I will confront people and say, hey, I don't like it how you come to me and make me feel this. It makes me feel like I am not up to the job, but I know what I bring to the table. And I know even when I don't know things, I'm willing to learn.
That's very interesting. And I really like the way you said, like, you're very bold and confident. I wouldn't say it's ego. You're very confident in your skills. And I believe that as long as you put in the work and you truly came back that work, you know, it's all about putting the work, I think, at the end of the day. Because I've been in a similar situation where you have been.
Yeah.
When you get into, when I got into university, I think I'd been programming for almost like 5 years by then. So you get there, you're not doing your introduction to programming. For me, it was just like a breeze. And people were like, oh, you're so smart. And you're just like, no, I've put in the work. Now, most of these things are smaller things. But I do believe like the confidence comes with the work. When you know you can do something and you're in a room with people, and they do not appreciate that you have done the work, you know what's going on. And I think that's not just a sign of disrespect. It's not even about the gender anymore. Yeah. Just about this is just disrespectful. It's not, they're not a nice person or a kind person. They're just being disrespectful.
Exactly.
And I feel like a lot of that also goes with personal relationships also. I think that also goes with personal relationship. I always feel like on the come up, we're always told to, as you grow, what is that saying? That is, as the tree grows, some leaves fall off and some branches fall off. How did you do that? You know, is for example, you're in Zimbabwe, then you move to the States, you know, some of your friends are like, oh, Nyasha doing this, oh, Nyasha, Akuvaira, hey, Nyasha this, Nyasha this. And how did you do it, like, to the point where, like, some of these people I just need to cut for my life and continue to grow as a person? How did you do that, your entire journey to be where you are with your friends now, who you feel comfortable with it?
Oh my God, isn't it, that's one of the most important things to learn early in life? Because I think I don't know about you, but I grew up as a Christian. And I think we were always taught, like, to forgive people and to extend the olive branch. And even when your friend has a low moment, you need to be the bigger person. And that was who I am for a very long time. Like, even friends who were upset about me coming to America or me, quote unquote, changing or whatever, I would want to give them a hug, like call them, check in, even though they didn't do that and I should have gotten the signal that they don't care. I definitely tried to be the peacemaker, the bigger person, all these things for a while. And I think it was around 2019, I had a big realization with one friend, and it led me to just feeling more empowered that, you know what, like, I am a nice person, kind person. I have enough to be like, maybe I don't need this person anymore. And this is not to be cocky as well, but there's millions of people in the world that you could come across. And with social media, the internet, like, I met you on Twitter. And, you know, who knows, like, from here, we could continue to collaborate and do things together. But this, all, my point is, there's so much access to people that you actually align with, that you are on the same mission. And so we have a few friends from my past or wherever where we just don't align anymore. I'm happy to cut those branches out. And sometimes it's an honest conversation, like, hey, we are just not on the same page anymore. And sometimes people are just like, yeah, we're not. And it hurts the first like 6 months, but it's worth it. I think for me, life, I know people are like, oh, you need to have diverse opinions. And I believe in that for sure. But I think I also have core values that I'm like, if someone does not have these same core values as me, we don't need to be friends. We don't need to collaborate. I don't need to allow you into my personal space. And I don't give a damn, because I respect my values and I know where I've come from. And yeah, I'll uphold them any day.
Thank you so much for that. That's very inspirational. I think so, especially on the issue of values. I think as a person, you always have to sit down at a point and just state your values and say, if this person or the people around me do not align with these values, we need to go our separate ways. And as usual, there's that saying, if you're the smartest person in the room, I think you're in the wrong room and you have to leave. And there's the one of, show me your friends, I'll show you your net worth. And the one that I really want to take my time on is the one about, if you're the smartest person in the room, you should leave. So for you right now, who are the people who you'd say are your role models, who you'd want to be in the room so you can learn from them and continue to grow from them? What are those people? Can you just give me about five and the top number one? Can you explain why that person's like really the one you look up to the most?
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, that's a good one. And that's actually a reflection of where I am right now. Right now, I don't think I have particular people that I am following, which actually explains why I'm a little uninspired. I am in the process of like doing different things. And typically I have, like you're saying, I definitely have people that I look at and I follow them. Even with my, I'm sure it's the same for you on Twitter or whatever. I don't listen to all that drama with some of those Zimbabwean socialites and whatnot. I have specific people that, you know, bring value to my life that I'm like, oh, I would like to emulate that. But top five people right now, I would be lying to you. But I usually have, typically people that I look up to are just women that I see killing it and who are able to combine being very smart or being ambitious, but also being very kind. So people probably don't know who they are, and they're actually in the entertainment business, which is like, what? Because I'm a software engineer. But I would say she's not my number one, but I really do look up to, well, not so much right now, but one of the people is Beyonce. She has this, I don't know, I just, especially once I came to America, I think I started to think of my identity very different. Like in them, I don't think you really think about being Black or being whatever. And I think coming to America, she was like, I could connect to her as a woman, as a Black woman, as someone who works hard. But she's also like, if you, I don't know her personally, but from what I've seen, like she seems to be an introverted person or a bit shy. But when she has to show up for a show or whatever, she will burn the house down and she will stand for different things. And so I really admire her courage, her work ethic, and that she is both like business minded, but also like really kind. And there's more women in the entertainment business who are quite the same, like people can ask those things, because like what I've seen is, let's say, for example, Elon Musk, like, sorry to the people who love him so much, but he's a smart dude. He's trying to do crazy things, and that's pretty cool. Dance with his emotional intelligence. Like, I think some of the things he can do can be a little misleading or insensitive. Like, he's not really considering the repercussions of what he does. So I really try to emulate people who are more responsible with their actions. Like, actually like leaders who care about people. So it's a balance of having an IQ, being business minded, and also having, you know, an emotional intelligence.
I really like the fact that you said that one of your role models is Beyonce. And for most people, I always feel like they limit themselves to role models. You see someone say, oh, since I'm a sports person, my role model has to be sports people. I'm a musician, my role model. But it's not like, no, it's like you can have role models who are not doing what you do, but you do respect their values and they resonate with you. And I really think that's really what makes a role model. Yeah. Someone who you're always chasing. And I always feel like the best, one of the speeches by Matthew at the Oscars was the one of his role models, him 10 years from the future, he's always chasing that person. And you know you're never going to catch that person, but the chase makes you better every single year and every single day, because you know that if I do this today, I'm one step closer to the person I want to be. Although you know deep down, you will never reach that person, but you're always going to be one step closer. And I really enjoy that. And as I can see from our conversation, you're very someone who's like that, who's always saying, you take it a day at a time, you're always getting one step closer to what you want to do.
I really like what you said about not limiting yourselves with role models, because I'm also not that person who's just like, oh, I'm going to follow someone in tech or someone in this. It's not just people in entertainment, but I actually watch basketball a lot. And seeing people like Jimmy Butler, like Stephen Curry, just how they are with their discipline. Like the human experience, obviously it's diverse for different people, but at the end of the day, it's very similar. Like I will see Beyonce, like the same reason she's successful is like discipline, working hard, and I don't know, like managing money well. And then you look at basketball players, it's pretty much the same thing. Discipline, confidence, working hard, blah, blah, blah. And then you look at an actor, and then you look at someone maybe who's an entrepreneur, and you keep seeing the same recurring thing. And you look at relationships even. Again, discipline, confidence, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if anyone has been in a relationship with someone who's super insecure. It's not fun. It just helps me realize, like, me branching out to learn from different kinds of people from all walks of life. I'm like, damn, like, to succeed as a human being in any area is pretty much the same thing. It's pretty much the same themes everywhere.
I truly agree with that statement, especially on hard work. Hard work, people should, especially I feel like in Africa, people should really accept that hard. We need to work hard, but also not to get to work smart. Because there's that saying that luck is when opportunity meets preparation. So if you're always working hard and you're always doing the right things, when the opportunity comes, you're definitely going to take that opportunity. And most people, that's when they will wake up the next thing, he was lucky, she was lucky. Like, for example, with you going to the States, most people just say, oh, Nyasha was lucky that she was accepted. But people always forget that you were working hard. When the opportunity finally came, you seized it. And the rest is history. And I'm really happy about that. And what I want to say is, what's next for Nyasha in the future? Where are we going? Are we starting our own consultancy, or are we looking for better things? Are we going to move? So what's up with Nyasha in the future?
Wow. Yeah, first of all, thank you, because I get the whole I'm lucky thing all the time. And I'm just like, okay, whatever. But what's next? That's a great question. I think right now I am going to stay working these 9-to-5s to make more money. I am just acquiring my first property in real estate. So I'm pretty serious about getting my financial freedom. I feel like once I get financial freedom, I will have more freedom to do more things and to say more, to be more outspoken, and to stand for the things I want to stand for. And I think even with the Twitter spaces that I do with Ishanesu on technology, there's a lot more work that could be done, or creating websites. One, I just don't have enough time. And I feel like the more I have my finances figured out, maybe I can build a team, or I'll just have more financial resources to make all these things work out. But at the end of the day, I think the thing that I run out of all the time is time. I'm figuring that out. Yeah, I have so many crazy dreams. I just don't seem to have the time sometimes. Yeah, but you're going to see more from me as probably in the arts and also within tech. And I think I definitely want to speak more in public. And yeah, we'll see where that goes. And mentoring people. Like, if anyone feels like any part of their journey like resonates with mine, I'm happy to talk to them. And I'm really honest about where I come from. I'm very proud of my humble beginnings. And I want everyone to know that there's no need to be ashamed of where you come from. We all start from somewhere, and it all has value.
You know what I really like the most of what you just said in that whole entire phrase was the first thing you said, you're staying at your 9-to-5. And I really like that, because most people are just rushing to be entrepreneurs, to be business owners, and they don't forget that everything does take time. There's nothing wrong in staying in a 9-to-5, getting your finances in order and making sure you're comfortable before you get into these risky things. Because I feel like if you rush to be an entrepreneur, then you fail, then you decide to go back to a 9-to-5, you always have that a bit of disappointment, and you always feel like people will be out to get you. But like you said, you're sorting your things out, you're getting your things in real estate. All you need right now is finding time, just making sure that everything balances out. And I really enjoy that you're working on your own timeline. That's what's important to you. There's no rush to be like anybody else. Yeah. There's no one pressurizing you. And I really enjoy that. Then on mentoring, I think people can always find you. I think on Twitter, your username is just Nyasha Zimunu. I'll share it so people can find it and they can contact you. And I really like that you're willing to help people, because in this time we live in, going the traditional route is too long. Having a mentor just cuts that entire journey in half, which is way more better than trying to catch up in this ever-changing world we're in. Then, Yasha, the last question is going to be, what can you say to the African people in general, then especially for the African women? What can you give, what advice can you give them as they embark in whatever journey they're going, whether it's a tech, arts, culture, or sports? What can you say to those people who are listening right now?
Oh my God, it's like you've been listening to my podcast. I ask people those questions and I'm like, oh, I wonder what they're going to say. And I never have an answer for myself. Am I qualified? I mean, I don't have a deep philosophical thing. I think everyone's life is different. But I think get your finances in order. Like, prioritize your finances before getting validation, external validation from other people. Yeah, I mean, people are mad about the rise of independent women and whatnot, but they are mad because they are harder to take advantage of. So get your finances in order. It's not very philosophical, but work hard for the money and don't let anyone, if something feels true to you and it feels right, and you know what you've been through, and you know that thing can help you, stick with it. It doesn't matter what other people are doing or what they're saying. And I think we've talked about it in this podcast that everyone is on their journey. There's no need to compare yourself to other people. But I'm telling you, finances are, they will come up. Like every problem you're going to have, well, not all of them can be solved by money, but most of them you can get out easier with money. So prioritize that before some of these people that you're going after. And that's me, that's a note to myself as well.
Thank you for those words of encouragement, advisory words, words of empowerment. Yeah. Those were very powerful words. Like the people have heard, your finances, they won't solve all the problems, but 90% of the times they're the way to go. But it's really something we should all take into account about managing our finances. Then Yasha, can you just tell people where they can find you on your social medias, your podcast? You can also just do your promo for your podcast so people can also find your podcast and hear another side of the story.
Yeah, I do a podcast called Zimbabweans What's Next. So it actually started as interviewing people who had just graduated college back in 2021. And then it evolved to interviewing software engineers in the Zimbabwean tech space. And you can just Google Nyasha Zimun on YouTube and you'll find it. But in addition to that, it's on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. And then I'm on Twitter. I do bi-weekly Twitter spaces where we cover exciting topics like, is AI going to take your job? Which skills to get familiar with? And are Zimbabwean developers good or are they slacking? Should they be doing more? We've covered all those controversial things. And it's really a community and we are open to whatever anyone has to contribute. So join us every two Saturdays a month. So follow me at Nyasha Zimun on Twitter and YouTube, Nyasha Zimun, and Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Nyasha. Thank you for being on Africa's Blank Canvas. You've started your painting on a blank canvas. And as usual, like I always say to the people who come on the podcast, we always support, we're always on the lookout, we always be engaging in content and always wanting to see other people succeed. Thank you for taking your time and finally being on the podcast with us. Hope to do this again. Maybe I might come on your podcast in the near future and I'll be on the other end getting questions and trying to find answers. But it's something we can always look forward to. Once again, I'm truly thankful. And as the community, we're truly thankful.
Sure. And thank you for this initiative and sharing people's stories. I think it's very important. I think sometimes as Zimbabweans, we can think very short term. But, you know, Zimbabwe is going to be around for hopefully hundreds of years. And I hope people will be looking back at content like this and learning how people of our time saw the world and how we're trying to get through some of the roughest times. And so this is an important part of history It sounds major, but I think it is. And so thank you for this initiative.